Are you ready to uncover hindrances blocking your dreams? Welcome to Reveal the Diamond Within podcast. I'm your host, author, and national pageant winner, Joanna Harabedian. Through thought-provoking interviews, inspiring stories, and teachings, we help you shine in the four pillars of strength for emotional, spiritual, physical, and financial breakthrough. It's time to step into your God-given greatness. It's your time to shine. Welcome to Reveal the Diamond Within. I'm your host, Joanna Harabedian. I am so excited about the show we have today. I have a phenomenal guest speaker. And before we get started, I just want to thank one of our sponsors who helps make this possible. It is an incredible company that makes a product that is for the body. It is wave frequency therapy. And what it does is it activates your molecules. Centropics is the name of the company that makes this device. I absolutely love it. We'll talk a little bit about it in the show. But if you'd like more information, you can go to my website at buyclood.us. So with that being said, let me introduce to you an incredible woman. She is a mother of four. She is 61. She is a world-class athlete, triathlete. She has beat records for 60 and over, 50 and over, and she is the epitome of what you can do when you put your mind to it. So without further ado, I want to welcome our incredible guest, Mrs. Lori Hecklin. Welcome to Reveal the Diamond Within. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Lori, let's get started. I want everyone to hear about your story. So let's start from when you were 23 and tell us, you know, a little bit about you and became a mom and you were a triathlete, but you put your career on hold. So let's kind of do the short version of the story tonight.
Okay, let's do that. So at 23, I actually met my husband, who's my husband now, and it's been my husband for 37 years.
Wow.
I was doing triathlons at the time, and I always wanted to do an Ironman by the time I was 50. That had been my goal. And so I kind of had that in the back of my head. And then I met him, and he had lost his first wife to cancer in her early 30s. Mm. And he was a doctor at the hospital I was working at. I was the accountant, and he had two small children who were 8 and 5. And I was 23. We met, and I questioned whether I was ready to be a mom of these kids as we were dating. I was kind of going, oh my gosh, is this going to work? He was a little older, and we just fell in love and decided that, you know, that God would get me through with these raising the kids. He didn't want to start over originally because they were 8 and 5, but he decided it wasn't fair to me to not allow me to have my own children. So within 2 more years, we had 2 more. So at 27, I was a mom of 4. So my athleticism at that point took a very back seat. I was very busy with the 2 little ones. We were going to the activities of the older ones, and had a daughter in there who was great because she was just, these were her live dolls, these 2 boys. So I had
her babies. Yeah. She
could play her live dolls, and she dressed them up, and we had some good times. And so it was very busy, and they showed athleticism. So we had them playing baseball and t-ball, 4 and 5. They actually played in Pan American Games and went to Australia and China and played baseball up through like 12 and 10. So my life was whatever I needed to do to help promote them.
It revolved around your children.
Totally revolved around my children. And then our other one, when he went off to college, he was playing baseball at college up at Hayward. He was local for a couple of years. Then he went to Hayward, was in Northern Cal. So we were driving up there to watch him play. So we decided to homeschool the 2 younger ones because we were traveling so much to go see our other one. Mm-hmm. And so then I'll try to keep it short. We got Tyler and Tanner into acting as another vehicle to have a social world outside of their sport world. Cause mm-hmm. we got homeschooled, and we're like, yeah, we'd be good for socialization. And
Right.
Tyler started, I mean, he booked a movie with Tom Hanks when he was 13 called Road to Perdition. And it just kickstarted his career and kept his career going to still to this day. So, he's been working since he was really basically 9. And so I was on,
Wow.
and I was on the set and had to be there until he was 18. So that was my job, was driving him. But he was still playing baseball for the local high school. So, we'd be in Santa Monica filming. He was on Seventh Heaven at the time. He'd film. I'd drive him back to high school to get to his baseball practice, get him back to Santa Monica that night so he could get up at 6 in the morning and be on set. And that was my world for 3 years.
Can I say, Lori, that you are super mom? That was amazing. Juggling four kids, four successful kids, mind you, who are
Yes.
all these international athletes and amazing, well-rounded, gifted kids. That's amazing. Well, I know that right now he's on the very, very successful Superman and Louise. So you are Superman's mom.
Truly, truly. Yes. It's coming out. It's 4 seasons, going to start filming. I mean, it's going to start airing in the fall. So it's one of Thursday nights at 8, I think, on CW. So excited for him and excited to see what God does with his life now that it's kind of the first time he's had an open, not a planned schedule ahead of him. So it'll be interesting to see what becomes of that.
Wow, that's incredible. So, at what point then did you start your career with being a triathlete and winning? You have won some incredible world records that I'm going to brag on you because they are very noteworthy. So, share with us, when did it start your career?
So I started, like I said, the funny thing is, they say you get what you speak, and it truly was the year that I could put in the work to train for an Ironman was when I turned 50. And I had said that when I was 23 that I wanted to do an Ironman by 50, and that all the not knowing what life was going to hold.
No.
I was 49 was when I actually had time to start training for Ironman, and I did my first full Ironman at 50. Tyler was at ASU going to school. Tanner was playing ball. I forget where he played all different schools. I'm
Yeah.
not sure where he was that year. But yeah, so I did Ironman in Arizona when I was 50, and I realize I don't love swimming and running. I can do it, but I even noticed on my training days when I had to go out for a long run or I had to swim, I didn't get near as excited as when I got to get on my bike. And there was just this love of the bike that, I mean, it wasn't even a hard training day for me ever. I just loved being on the bike.
Well, the
And
fact that you even, I mean, to compete for Ironman, that's one thing. And I want to park here for a minute because I think this really is significant. In our culture right now, women are everyone's trying to look young eternally. And we get bombarded with these lies. Oh, you look old. Oh, you're too old for this. You can't do that. You're not in good shape. It's what you can't do. And it's easy to buy into that lie of that mindset that you can't do it for whatever reason. And so this is one of the things I really admire about you is you spoke out, you said what you were going to do when you were 23, not knowing how that was even going to play out. Here you are, a mom, busy mom of four successful children, and now at 49, you're in this place in a new season of your life where you can now focus on you and you decide you're going to do this. This is amazing. So, how many hours did you have to train to do the Ironman?
I was probably training about 25 hours a week. I mean, it's a lot of time. It's, a part-time job for sure.
That's for
And that
sure.
is the hard thing, and I am one of these people that if it was 10 o'clock at night and I hadn't gotten to the pool yet, I would go down to the gym and go swim in the pool. I'm just that dedicated. I always have been just very self-disciplined. I guess it's a good thing sometimes, not so much, but yeah,
I think that's
I wouldn't let myself down because I knew that was letting myself down. And if I, And same thing. I just didn't want to listen to lies that, you're too old to do it now. I just wanted to do it. Something I always spoke and said I wanted to do. And so it was in the back of my head. And I know I would have felt defeated had I not gone through with that.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it is true. You hear so much out there of what, and I just refuse to give in because the self-talk is just so crucial of, you are who you say you are and you can do what you say you can do. And that's why, I ride with a lady who's 75 and, she'll have some negative talk sometimes. And I'm just like, you can't do that. You're crushing what you can do by letting the voice speak words you don't want to participate in,
Right. And our words are powerful. And we don't realize how powerful our words actually are. When I was going through my phase of I was single and celibate for 16 years before I met David, my husband. And during that time, I wrote a book, sevenmistakesbook.com. And it's about that journey. And I would start declaring, there's no good men out there. There's no one my spiritual strength, and la 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 la. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, stop speaking that. You're prophesying what's you're not going to have. And I went, oh, so then I started declaring, I'm going to have an incredible man of God who's going to love me like nobody's ever loved me. We're going to change the world together. He's going to be this and that and that and that. And guess what? That's exactly what I got, what I declared. Yeah. Share with us, what are some of the things that you use to help your body? I know you use the cloud, and tell us a little bit about the cloud and
The
what it does.
cloud I have been using, I think I got it. When did I get it? I got it back in April. And I have used it every day, probably 3 times a day. I do it in the morning. I do it on the waking up, basically, the energy. I start with that to start my day. So I go turn on my sauna out. I have an infrared sauna. I go turn that on. It takes 30 minutes to heat up. I come back in and I lay on my cloud for
I
two
know
seconds.
I love waking up on the energy cycle for the cloud because it's like it's your cup of coffee in the morning with for energy but no caffeine.
Yes, it's
It
great.
lasts even longer for your energy.
It does. So I use it for that. And then I come back after my ride, after my training ride. I'll come back and I'll do a recovery round on it and my meditation. And then I use it at night to go to sleep and I use the sleep cycle. And I have to say my energy level has definitely just felt way better. So
Which it makes a huge difference. It really
it does.
does.
I'm just really, really appreciating that. So that's key to my day. My nutrition obviously is another one that I'm very diligent on, and my
You do
supplementation.
for your nutrition. Just give us like some highlights for your nutrition.
I've kind of been keto diet for like 5 years. I eat very little no processed food really. I don't have cravings because of that, so I don't really eat sugar. Yeah, sugar just doesn't agree with me. I keep telling my body that, and I don't have any cravings, so it's like, why bother? And I've done intermittent fasting for quite a while. I'll do my bulletproof coffee in the morning, and then I usually don't eat anything until after my training ride. Yeah, I can do a lot on, yeah, because once you get your body fat adapted, that's the beauty of the keto. Once it becomes fat adapted, they say even a lean athlete has 80,000 calories on their body. And if you don't ever become fat adapted, you don't burn that. And it's on our bodies to burn. So really that's kind of what's kept me in shape between the riding is just I don't really get hungry and I don't have cravings. And I love that. So
Wow,
I've
that's amazing. So for those of us who don't know what fat adapted is, can you briefly share what explain what that is?
So basically, it's just going low carb, and that's basically it is dropping your carb intake. I take typically less than 50 grams of carbs a day. The only carbs that I really eat, I don't do grains. I mean, obviously, there's occasions, special occasions that we'll do Taco Tuesday or whatever, but it's rare that I have breads and grains and that. So most of my carbs come from fruits and vegetables. And then I do a lot of protein. And what happens is when your body is taking in the constant carbs, it can go to your fat stores. And these people that struggle with weight, a lot of it is because they eat the processed foods, their bodies are constantly telling them to put in more carbs because they're having the cravings, and they can't ever get to the fat stores to lose the fat. So it breaks my heart when I see people, because it really is that simple. It's just let your body burn its own fat. The only way it's going to do that is by lowering your carb intake.
Right. And probably the intermittent fasting also helps.
Helps a lot. It helps a lot.
It'll burn those, it'll start using the fat as fuel.
Yes, that's exactly what happens. And what's great for that with endurance cycling is I can be out there for hours and I don't feel the need to eat. You know, if I'm wanting to do some high intensity stuff, then carbs, and that's the beauty too, because I don't eat them a lot, that when I do eat them, I have that instant energy if I need it for the quick stuff. I just don't do a lot of quick stuff. I just, you
Yeah, exactly.
know.
Wow.
It works.
So you did Ironman, and so that was your first, man, talk about getting out of the gate with a big heart.
I had done a few shorter ones along the way, when the boys were in college, just because I had time. You know, their games were in the afternoon, so once they kind of were away at school, I had the days to train. So I had done San Diego. I think I took, I don't know, those are all short ones, so I don't keep track, but I know I was on
Yeah,
the
but still, to do Ironman is like, wow, you know. So then what did you do? What was your next one after Ironman? Because
And
you
then
said
I
the
kind of
World
put
Record.
the, I put it away. I did one and done. I mean, I did Ironman and I'm like, okay, if I'm going to be out all day doing an activity, because I think it was, I don't even know my time. I think it was 11:20. I finished in 11:23. I'm just like, if
Wow.
I'm going to spend that many hours out there, I'd rather be on the bike the whole time. And
Oh,
so
okay.
that's how I transitioned from the triathlon world into the ultra cycling world. And that is my niche. I mean, I never thought I was going to be an endurance athlete at all, but that is my gift. I can go forever. High intensity hurts me, but I found out that I am a climber. You know, you just find out your gifts. And I remember somebody one time saying, God will never give you the ability and then not give you the, or no, what is it? You know, he won't, let me rephrase that. God will never give you the dream and not give you the ability to go along with it. And it was just kind of one of those things that I truly believe I found the gift in cycling. I was so strong in that sport. And the more I did it, the more success I had. And I go, this is where I'm meant to be. You know, God has me here for a reason. And like I've told you before, I riding a bike, it's my Zen time. I mean, when I'm out on the bike, it's my meditation time. It's my, you know, get centered, get ready to face the day, do all that. But the whole goal for me in cycling, honestly, is to inspire others. It's selfish if you just do it for yourself. And I just never wanted it to be just for me. I want to be able to inspire other people to get out and do what they find a passion to do. For me, it's never a workout. Getting on a bike is not a workout, because I have to, it's really tough on days that I don't get out on my bike. My yoga days, I'm like, I know I need to do yoga, but I'd really rather be pedaling. So it takes a lot for me not to get on the bike. It's just the endorphins that I get from cycling. I know runners talk about that runner's high. Never quite found it with the running. There was too much
Oh,
involved.
there's
But
too much pain in my opinion, but you
I
know.
know it just hurts. And maybe it's just because I haven't done it enough. But it's
Yeah.
funny. I had a lot of aches and pains when I was training for Ironman, and I got through it and did it. But it's like all those went away when I stopped running. So cycling's great because you can do it for so long, and you know, with it being low impact and all
Right.
that.
You know,
So
I liked what you touched on earlier in our conversation. You talked about you didn't want to let yourself down. And I want to just touch on that for a minute because for my friends who are listening right now, I want to speak to you. You know, there's times where we have let ourselves down, but then we have to forgive ourselves, say, I forgive myself, and then let go of any shame, guilt, and condemnation. And then you start afresh. You know, God's mercies are fresh every day, every morning. He gives us new mercies. So we have to give that to ourselves. And so I encourage you, if you're listening right now, what is something that you love to do? Or if you don't know, try some things, you know, like Lori just said, you know, she tried the running, she tried the swimming, and she tried the cycling. But that wasn't her deal. But she found out as she pursued the cycling that she had some gifts she didn't even realize she had. And so, God wants to bring out your gifts, but you have to be like Moses. You have to step in the water in order for the Red Sea to part. You can't just sit on the couch saying, God, what do I do? What do I do? He wants you to explore. He wants you to experiment. And this is why Lori is so inspirational, because she's just stepped out. She just did it. And Lori, I want you to share, tell us about the Sprocket Rocket.
The Sprocket Rocket, hopefully you'll have a picture of that because it's hard to describe, but it's kind of a missile looking contraption that has a ch one chain that goes to five different riders. And the gal who actually has the world record for the fastest land time was asked to captain this rocket. And so she put together a team of the five of us. And it's very interesting because three are sprinters, so they have a totally different operating system within their body. And then
Right.
Barbara, who's a friend of mine that does a lot of the endurance stuff, her and I are both endurance. So because we're all on one chain, we had to find what would work for each of our cycling abilities, because they're more of a big gear grinder and we're more spinners at just faster cadence. So we had to do what was going to get this rocket up to speed. So what it is you have a 5 mile stretch out in the salt fields, and you had like two or three times a day that you could actually go out and try to attempt to get the record. And the engineer who had put this together had taken Min out there 4 years prior because he thought that this was the team that would crush it and set the record, and they didn't. And so then he, 4 years later, after COVID, decides he's going to try with us women. And we broke the men's record. And honestly, I think it was more of the lack of the male ego that made it work, because we all, there was no drama. We all cooperated so well with each other. If it's something didn't work, the first thing we did is sit down and say, what can we do different? Let's try this. Let's try accelerating here a little more. So what happens is you have 5 miles to get up to speed, but then you only had like 200 yards that the time was actually taken. So we got up to, and the winds had to be totally legal. So even if you had a headwind, it didn't count if they were above, I think it was 3 knots is what the limiting thing was. And you didn't hear about it until you got back to the gym to find out if it was a wind legal run or not. So we ended up, at 61.94 miles an hour, we were only 1 mile per hour off a two-man record that was set back in the 80. I think it was, they were in the 80 Olympics. I know 84, I get 80 and 84 mixed up. So 1 year they set the two-person record, which their two little two-person machine in comparison to our five-person rocket, just the rocket alone was 750 pounds before us five women in it. So we had to, they tape it up.
Guys are inside the chamber, right? So you're inside this rocket, the rocket's enclosed, and you guys are inside the chamber. So the only person that can really see in front of her is the lead cyclist. You guys can't see anything because you're enclosed in this chamber.
Right. You had to totally trust that the person in the front was going to get you safely to the finish line, which was pretty straight. Thank goodness. There were a couple, whoops, and we were trying it out on a little bit of a curvy road. But she did great. And
What
like I
was
said,
the top speed that you guys, what was your speed that you hit that won the record? What was that?
61.94. And the thing that kept us going out and trying to get, we were 1 mile per hour off that two-man record set back in the 1980s. And since we only had 1 more mile per hour, we went out and kept working at it all week long, even though I think we'd gotten that record like on Tuesday, and we could run different runs up till Saturday. And we just kept going out there and trying to give it, we refused to give up trying to get that 1 more mile per hour. We just couldn't do it. So, but we had, I think the women's record was 16 miles per hour less than we got. So we felt good about what we did for
Oh
sure.
my gosh, that's a major accomplishment,
It
Lori.
was a lot of fun.
major accomplishment. That's amazing. And then you also set a tandem record on the 508 mile race for 60 years old and up. Tell us about
Yes.
that.
So that was that actually I told the guy I would do it because I was on my way back from Sprocket Rocket, as long as it didn't cost me anything, because I said I had enough racing for the year. I wasn't planning on doing that race. And unbeknownst to me, he had a medical thing that he had to take care of the night before he came. So he had like no sleep. He comes out and we ended up doing the tandem for the 508. And he was exhausted. So and even the crew said he never should have, he just really wanted to race with me. So he didn't let me know that he had all these.
Oh, no, that's a
Yep.
major non-disclosement right there.
It is. When you're on a
Wow.
tandem, you have no choice. And so it wasn't like, he was tired and we had to pull over and sleep a lot. And I just wanted to get down the road. But we did it. We finished it in the time limit. I could have done it a lot faster had he been more fresh. And I just said, it would have been nice if I had at least been in the know
Yeah,
on his
exactly.
end. Because there were just times that I just felt like I was working so hard and we weren't going anywhere. Because it's like I could push a harder gear, but he just didn't have it. So.
Wow. And look at that. See, this is what I love about your stories is this challenge, these are major challenges that came up, but you overcame them. And again, that's all with your mindset. You, no matter what the challenge, you're going to find a way to do it different, to accomplish it. And so this is a key message right here is to embrace the challenge. No matter what the difficulty is, you can get a different outcome. We just have to be, have our eyes open and our mindset to be open to that possibility and say, okay, what can we change? What can we do different? What can we do better? What's working? What's not? And
Right.
those principles apply to every part of life.
Absolutely.
You guys set
Absolutely.
the world record.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
I think it's going to stick for a while too, which
I
is
think
crazy.
so. I mean, 508 miles. What kind of terrain did you have to go over?
It's very deserty. You start in Reno, you go out to Eureka on the loneliest highway, and it's named that for a reason. You are in the middle of, and that's probably one of the things that's the hardest about that course is that it's not like you're drawing in a mountain towards you. I mean, it's just a long desert road, so you don't feel like you're making progress, even though you are slow but sure. But you don't feel like you're getting closer to a destination, and that's a key thing too, is when you can see the finish line or you can see that you're drawing in that mountain out there. You feel like you're making progress. Where when it's a long straight desert road with nothing different, you really don't feel like you're going anywhere,
No,
and
it's like
so
you're stuck in
it's a
time.
mental thing, every bit as much as it's physical. It's
Wow,
definitely a
no
challenge.
kidding. Now, we're going to start wrapping it up a little bit, but I want to share. You are on Strava.com, Strava.com, and people can follow your journey there. So, you guys, follow Lori, and she posts her cycles and runs and things that she's doing. And I think you guys will be really inspired that by her. So, it's Strava.com. So we're going to be wrapping up the show. And Lori, why don't you share with us, one to three practical tips application for someone who might be struggling with, can I do this? Can I do it? Or my dreams don't feel like they've been fulfilled. Or why don't you just speak to that? Just share, two to three applications, one to three tips.
I just say, don't let your mind tell you what to do. Don't be reactive to your surroundings. Make it proactive, and you decide what you want to do. We talked about it earlier, find something you like to do, and then put the energy towards going and doing it. And God will give you the strength to do that. And you will find your passion. And it really is about finding passion. Honestly, without having that, it's hard. I can't even imagine. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning, is knowing I have something I love to do. And there was times I was struggling falling asleep, which is why I love my cloud now, because I'd be excited about my ride the next day. I'd be that excited of whatever the ride was going to be, where it was going to take me. And that would get me going the next day. And it doesn't even have to be anything extreme. You know, if it's just getting out and walking, getting fresh air and keeping on, you know, keep moving. I highly recommend that we keep moving. People have become way too sedentary, and we weren't meant to be that way. And I just think too many people let the mind tell them what to do instead of them telling their mind what they're going to do. And you're always going to feel better. Even if you don't feel like doing it and you go out and do it, you're always going to feel better that you did it. So just don't give in to the negative thinking for sure.
That's huge. That's key right there. And you know, if anyone is interested in more information about the frequency on the cloud and what it does, you can just go to bycloud.us and that'll give you some information. But this is great input. I love what you said. Don't let your mind tell you what to do. You tell your mind what you're going to do.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a big takeaway right there. Wow. Well, this has been awesome, Lori. Thank you for being on Reveal the Diamond Within. And again, guys, go follow Lori. Go to Strava.com, Strava.com, and follow Lori. You're going to be inspired and you get to see what she's doing and on these run cycles and rides that she's doing and everything else. So, Lori, let's close out the show with prayer. Would you mind praying for our audience today?
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the vehicles that you've given us through the internet, through Zoom, to be able to reach the amount of people that we can reach. We know you have a purpose and a plan, Lord Jesus, and we just ask that you will help each and every listener out there to realize that there is somebody mighty in control of their life that wants to be there for them to help them through whatever it is that they're seeking, and that they learn to look to you and let you guide them in the ways that you have set for us. We know you have a plan for all of us, Lord, and it's only then when we try to take over that we run into the challenges that we do. So we just ask that you continue to guide us and let the Holy Spirit lead us in the way that you have set before us. We thank you for your love and your presence in our lives, and we ask blessing upon all the listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I don't have any more to add to that. That was a great prayer. Awesome. Well, if you make sure to like and share this podcast and invite people to Strava.com to follow Lori. And don't forget to check out her son, Superman, Superman and Louise show. And we'll see you guys in the next session. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Reveal the Diamond Within podcast. If you're blessed by today's message, rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you listen. Help us spread the gospel. Visit me at virtualchurchmedia.com. God bless you, and we'll see you in the next session.